and thank you so much for tuning into the She Can Ball podcast. I'm your host, Mahi Jariwala. Sorry for the long wait. I've been super busy with school, basketball, and college apps, but I'm back and better than ever. Today, we're joined by Shamir Prasad, sports journalist and production assistant for NBC Sports Bay Area. So, like, what are you kind of, I know that you report on a variety of different sports and a lot of different networks and companies as well. So what are you kind of working on right now?
So I am mainly working with the nuts and bolts sports people that I was with when I started. And I'm doing the YouTube show for them on the weekends. So we're doing like a pregame show on Sundays. And then also just trying to get back into doing South Asians in sports. So doing interviews on there. And then making my own content on like social media just to create like a reel and get myself out there and put up more content, because good thing it's football season, because there's a lot that I could do.
I know, and I love that about you. I think you cover like the entirety of Bay Area sports and even beyond that. Is there like a certain sport that you like reporting on best?
I think football and basketball are the most fun. Obviously, it's like such a cliched answer. But I think those are also the ones that are covered the heaviest here, obviously, with the Warriors winning 2 years ago, and then the Niners are constantly making a Super Bowl run. I feel like all eyes are always on them. And then it doesn't really help that the A's are possibly 99% leaving. Giants haven't done too well. So like the baseball content isn't like heavy hitting. And then the Sharks, you know, every year we're just hoping they get a little bit better. So I feel like that's why it's easier to cover the two main sports of America.
What are your thoughts of like the possibility of a WNBA team coming here in Oakland?
Oh, I think that'd be sick. I would honestly love to work with them too, because now that there's a women's soccer team coming, I feel like having two women's teams that you can go out and support in an arena and just like, I don't know, have your own fan. Like I have an IUNESCO jersey, but that's because I went to Oregon. I feel like if there was already a Bay team, I might have been indifferent, or I probably actually would have bought it already. I take that back, because she was so awesome when she was a Duck. And then she's still just been like one of the best people to watch in WNBA. So yeah, I think that having a team here would honestly bring a new spark, especially to the Oakland area, because 100%. As we know, everybody keeps leaving for no reason. I mean, I think obviously there's problems across the Bay Area, but I just think having a professional sports team in that city is easy commute. It's fun. It's cool. It's a whole different area than everyone being in San Francisco or in the peninsula where it's like 100 degrees down there, you know?
Yeah, no, 100%. And I think that a lot of Bay Area fans, I think, are like one of the best, you know, sports fans across the country. I mean, we have so many like loyal fans for so many amazing sports here. And I think that they, you know, making a WNBA team, I think, would just be super successful here, and just giving people that chance to see basketball live and support a local team. Cause that's why I started supporting the Warriors. It was just because it was the local team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And having so many, every sport here, I think adding the WNBA, it's like, why aren't we doing it already, right? Like, we already have the five major sports that people care about.
I know. So fingers crossed that ends up happening. I do always like to start these interviews kind of taking us back into your journey and the beginning of how you kind of started this amazing road to become the amazing sports journalist that you are today. So when did you play sports growing up, or were you really into journalism? Like, how did it all start for you?
I played soccer in high school. I was not like amazing. I was only on the team sophomore year. And I just always was around sports. My dad's a huge Raider fan. My mom's a Niner fan. My dad played soccer, which a lot of Indian dads have done in their lifetime, as they're all like soccer players. So I was always around sports. Then I went to college at the University of Oregon, and I actually wanted to be a marriage and child psychologist. So once I found out you need to get a master's degree, I was a little more nervous, because if school's hard, college is hard. And the funding, right? I went to an out-of-state school. It was expensive out there. But I had a friend back in the day, and I was talking about this entire situation, and they told me, well, you're really good at talking to people and you really love sports. Like, why don't you go into journalism? And I thought, okay, why not? And I got into the journalism program and it was so cool. Like the University of Oregon has such a sick program. And I was there when Marcus Mariota was there. So like the football culture was unreal. Like you couldn't even write a better storyline for the 4 years I was there. And then, yeah, I mean, I didn't do as many sports as I probably should have, but I really just like learned while I was at Oregon, and I've always wanted to be around sports. I like my main goal was to go to a university that had a sports culture. So very grateful that I got to go to Oregon.
That's awesome. And I, you know, had like a very similar experience of me, like you wanting, loving to talk and then loving sports and kind of like combining the two. I'm a senior right now, so, you know, looking into colleges and like what I really want to do. I'm just curious of like what you think like University of Oregon's broadcast journalism program like brought for you and what you think you kind of like took away from that.
You get a lot of real time experiences. When I was there, I took a broadcast class specifically. So there was like four different segments. You're learning lighting, miking, and everything like that. And then proper interviewing, you're learning how to be one-on-one in a room, which is super daunting when you're only 18 years old and you're talking to these guys that could become professional athletes. And the teachers are super cool. They've been through so many different experiences. I think the journalism school as a whole has so many amazing opportunities. Like all those people are so well connected. And so I feel like that was just a huge help to have people that have been around the block in different ways, not just broadcast. The PR team is unreal. The writing, you know, classes that I had taken were just so great. Everything about the school was, it was really like zoned in on what you wanted to become. And it's really like what you make of it. So they've got the radio team there. They've got Duck TV, which I know there's like a lot of drama going on with Duck TV. But that was a great opportunity for people to get a lot of practice on being on camera and working with, and I know that now, I mean, I can only imagine any kid going to school now, like they're very aware of the opportunities that their college provides them with. So I feel like it's probably very busy, but that's the only way you're going to learn for sure.
And growing up, did you see people like you on screen talking about sports?
No, I was the only brown girl at Oregon. I actually was told they were the first Indian. I was the first Indian person that some people had ever met. I thought that was crazy. Wow. I was like, I'm only an 8-hour drive from the Bay. How is that even possible? So it was crazy.
And like, how do you think that impacted you kind of like going through this or thinking like, am I not right for this field, or will people maybe not want to take me just because I don't look like most people that are out there talking about sports?
I think diversity in colleges is a huge thing. I feel like this problem could happen to anybody that's an Indian person going to any college. But I don't think they were discriminating me or like choosing against me in that sense. I really think it was like the amount of work that you were willing to put in and just how connected you were with these people. Like I tried to join Duck TV a little bit later, and the people that had worked there like already knew the rhythm and the tune and had a deep understanding of like what things looked like there. And so I definitely looked like the odd one out, but only because of the time that I had put in. So I feel like in college, everyone is very accepting, especially these days. Everyone like wants everyone to be involved. You can put your hand wherever you want it to be. So I don't think that was the case. I really think it's like the more work you put in, the more you'll get out of it.
I love that so much. And can you tell us a little bit about like your involvement, like you talked about, with South Asian sports and why that's so important that, you know, you have these communities of supporting each other?
So when I started posting myself on social media, I was DM'd by my friend Sandeep, and he was talking to me about this Asian American journalism thing and South Asians in sports. And I was like, there's no way there's other Indian people working in sports. I had no idea. And this was only like right before COVID. So very recent that I found out that there were these two networks that have a bunch of brown people in them. And so I looked up South Asians in sports and I met with Neha, and I was like in shock at just all the people that she had profiled on the website and on the Instagram. And it was like, everyone was not obviously a journalist. Some people were CEOs. There were people head of talent, you know, so on and so forth. There's a ton of other jobs within sports that you could dive into. And so seeing them, I was like, wow, this is unreal. Meeting my friend Sandeep at the time was unreal. Like, he was in San Jose and I'm in San Mateo. And like, we were so close and he was working in sports too. I thought that was crazy. So just having people that know your background and are really relatable to you, like, it was super nice to meet them. And then speaking with Neha, holding those interviews, just being, I was like head down involved in South Asians in sports because the exact reason of why you're asking me, it was so important to me. I got to meet so many people during those interviews. I got to learn about the different departments within the space and just talk to people about why they wanted to be in sports in the first place, literally what we're doing right now. And I spoke with one woman, was a lawyer for the Sixers. And I mean, she still got a law degree, still got to do things that many, they see parents want you to do. And she was just doing it in sports. I thought that was so fun that I got to tell that story. So yeah, South Asians in sports, I mean, I think it's just a great place to be involved. They're doing a mentorship right now. And I feel like that's a huge thing. There's always like a part of me that wants to be like the brown girl helping the brown people.
And I love that. And you do that so well. So I appreciate all the work that you're doing for us in our community.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm just like blown away by the amount of sports that you are able to like report on, because I play basketball my whole life. And I feel like that's the only like sport I could actually like report on. When did you learn? Did you grow up watching these other sports, or was that something that you learned when you went to college? How did that work?
I mean, I'm learning every day. Like, I'm listening to the Mina Kimes podcast every day. I really started just knowing football, really like the teams and the quarterbacks. That was like my bread and butter. And then once I decided that this was going to be my career and my major, I was like, you need to know way more than that. So then when I went to games, I was paying attention to the defenses we were taking on, or like what the Ducks had done wrong. And back then they were doing so well, there was not that much to say that they were wrong. So I really just started paying more attention, reading more about football, reading more about basketball. It also helped that my role at NBC was like the stat person. So I needed to look up, you know, first player to do X, Y, and Z since the Kings had come to Sacramento, things like that. So just being down in that research really brought me to where I am today. And I mean, I'm Googling things just like everybody else. I do not have everything memorized in my head. Sometimes I need a refresher, but I feel like the more that I look things up and learn and put pen to paper is how it's stuck in my head for so long.
And now, you know, you kind of like work with a variety of sports and, you know, doing different like interviews and stuff. I love how just you're able to use like a bunch of different outlets and kind of like explore different things. What do you think that like the positives are of just not maybe sticking to like a certain platform or just doing things through like a certain network, but kind of like keeping your options open and being able to explore different topics and areas?
I think it makes you a more well-rounded person because I personally want to enter a room knowing as much as I can, knowing as many people as I can, knowing as many topics that could come up in a conversation as I can. I really want to be prepared, because if I go to a gala and the VP of a baseball team is there with like the CMO of a basketball team, I kind of want to be able to talk to both of them as if they're the same person. And at the end of the day, we're all people, right? Like, if they talk about how they spilled ketchup on their shirt at some event and they were walking around with their jacket closed the whole time, and you comment on something and you're just relatable, I feel like at the end of the day, just making that human to human connection is really what like takes you to the next level. But platform wise, I feel like on TikTok, I am fearless. I'll post anything. I don't care if user 1875 is like saying, I don't know football, because I don't know who they are. But for some reason, Instagram, right? We've had it for so long. We've like developed a following of people we've met throughout our lifetime. Instagram is more daunting to me. Like, I really hate posting on Instagram.
100%.
Yeah. Because people from my high school are there. I think my high school English teacher follows me, like, which is not a big deal. Everybody is celebrating my wins. But for some reason, TikTok, I could post no filter, don't care, whoever. But Instagram is a whole different story. And then taking advantage of X right now is kind of like a big deal as well. That's the best place for you to just hype yourself up. And then people come across your page and then they go to your Instagram. And they're like, oh, this person loves to do, you know, video editing. So they all intertwine. Sadly, you can't avoid one without the other.
No, for sure. And when did you start getting involved with NBC and how did that kind of take you to the role that you are at today?
So I was doing South Asians in Sports and I was working at Nuts and Bolts Sports and I was doing everything. I was also working a full-time job. So I was the social media person. I was doing my own show on Nuts and Bolts called Moving the Chains with Ashmir, which was super awkward. I was filming myself like this, just talking about the games from football so I could put some content out. And then making all of the social calendars, like you name it, I was doing all of it. And my friend told me he was messaged about the role at NBC and he had just gotten a new job. And he was like, actually, my friend Ashmir is looking for a job. And so I interviewed for their digital content role, which was a social coordinator, essentially, and got hired. And then I moved over to the production side like a year ago. And I started doing all the shows, pre and post game shows, creating all the graphics, looking up all those stats, like I mentioned, creating all those full screens that you watch on the NBC channels, which, like, it's crazy. It's a crazy job, but for some reason, I really love it because you get to be witty, your copy isn't too long or crazy, and you're learning so much data. And I feel like I was covering the Kings last year, and that was like the most fun because obviously everybody was amazed by the Kings, and being the person that was putting the content out for that amazing season was like, it just made me feel so good. So those two roles really got me to where I was. And then, like I said, I did everything I could. I mean, social is not my favorite part of the industry, but I did it for two different platforms, two very different places. And I feel like that really helped me. And then filming myself every day, like you are, that really helped me too.
No, I think it's important that you just start somewhere, right? And you get that going and make sure that you're creating content as much as possible, because then that's where all the learning and where all the visibility comes into.
Mm-hmm, 100%.
And the Kings are going to be amazing this year. I'm so excited to see where they are going to go.
It was pretty hectic at work since we did both the teams. So it was like, nobody was not rooting for the Kings because all the Warriors guys were like, I loved what they've done all season, but also we want to win another championship. So it was like, we're all sitting together watching the games and like, you know, Sabonis makes a crazy play or a dunk or something. And then it was fun. It was like, you're watching at a bar with your friends, but you're at work. I thought that was like one of the
Thank you so much for today. But last question, what advice do you have for, you know, young girls who may be looking to pursue a career in sports journalism?
It is not easy. Like, I'm just going to keep it straight. The world is changing so much. And I think the way that TikTok is evolving already from something that used to be very carefree and fun to something very strategical and, you know, financial. There's just so many avenues that you could take. But if you want to be a writer, write as many good articles as you can and share them in a unique way. It's kind of like tying social and writing together. I feel like that's really big. If you love social media, I mean, hats off to you. Okay. Don't stop doing social media. Just work with people that you need help with. Like, I need help with social media. So if somebody wants to help me, that would be great. And then if you want to be on TV, I feel like getting the reps in is what I've been told time and time again, because there is no amount of times that you could practice this and you're going to get it perfect. And obviously that's the goal, but the more time that you put into it is really what you're going to get out of it. And also networking. I've met so many people, and during COVID, I DM'd a ton of people. We didn't have sports. And so I messaged people that worked at NFL. I messaged people that were writers. I messaged all types of people just to talk to them and have them remember my name. And then when somebody says, oh, this is my friend Ashmir, and they say, oh yeah, I've seen her before, I feel like that means you're doing a good job. So I usually say the phrase of, if you're annoying people on this social media, you're doing it right. So that's kind of what I do.
Great advice. Thank you so much again. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, no problem. It's so great.